Hi, everybody, and thank you guys so much for tuning into my late night live stream. I've been really liking this late night thing that we've been doing lately, guys. I feel like I have the entire day to really gather my thoughts, and I did want to do a live stream yesterday, but I just didn't find the time. So here I am today. Now, I wrote the script or my outline for tonight's show yesterday night, and a lot has happened since then. And I originally was going to talk about totalitarianism today and how our language is being controlled, but I have noticed that there has been an intense focus on the George Floyd trial, which is currently going on right now. They are trying to pick jurors for the case to come forward, and so I renamed the title of tonight's show George Floyd trial basically is going to be the Rodney King riots part two. And I want to talk to you guys a little bit about what happened in 1992 with the Rodney King riots. I'm sure a lot of you know, but I want to talk about how this George Floyd trial is essentially going to end the exact same way, as I'm sure a lot of you guys already know, but we're going to really delve into all of that today. But before we get into too much of the news, so people have already sent a couple of super chats, and I have been reading some of y'all's chats, and you guys are telling me not to yell at you. Nick Kingman said, Sav, please don't yell at us. And again, I saw a couple of you guys saying the exact same thing. So I won't yell at you guys today. I will try to remain calm in talking about the complete deterioration of America and our civil society. I'll remain calm today. I'll try at least. So I wanted to talk about, of course, like I said, George Floyd, the trial that's currently going on, and the fact, too, that Joe Biden has signed the $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill today. That was also a thing that happened. I was looking at the crypto market today, and it was just booming, and I was like, what's going on? Because I hadn't gotten on Twitter all day. And then I saw this, and I was like, okay, well, that explains it perfectly. That's the reason why we're seeing crypto just skyrocket. Bitcoin, the last time I looked at it, was about 57,000. Ethereum, which I am invested in, was at 1,800, I believe, the last time I looked at it. And I just feel like looking at the crypto market and the fact that people realize that our dollar is completely worthless because we keep pumping worthless dollars into our economy and we keep signing these stimulus bills where the money does not go back into the pockets of the American people. That's why we see, you know, the crypto market continuously going up, because a lot of people really do realize that our dollar is worthless. So just wanted to touch on that a little bit before we got into the George Floyd trial. So, like I said, I was originally going to talk about the concept of totalitarianism, because I have been noticing, and I was going to tie the George Floyd trial into this, how recently, and this isn't even recent, but with the George Floyd trial, we've currently seen how the government has basically controlled our thoughts. And the way they've been able to control our thoughts is by controlling our language. And then they control what everyone thinks. They control the political ideology that's most popular. And that's what we're currently seeing right now with the George Floyd trial in terms of them trying to pick their jurors. So we're going to go through, Jack Posobiec has been doing a really great job of live tweeting, you know, the jurors that are picked, the jurors that are dismissed, why they're dismissed. And we're really going to get into this issue, because there's a lot of underlying layers to this that I think really do need to be addressed. Because like I said, outside of the theme of the trial, we are going to be talking about the concept of totalitarianism. And we're going to be talking about it because I saw this tweet the other day from John Hayward. It says, no, we're not sinking into totalitarianism. Don't be silly. Oh, by the way, here's a growing list of people you're not allowed to criticize, ideas you're not allowed to disagree with, books you're not allowed to read, and words you're not allowed to use. And this reminded me of a multitude of other issues we're currently seeing right now in society on top of the George Floyd case. So let's jump in. Let's really delve into this. I'm very kind of low energy today, guys, so I'm not going to yell at you. It's been a very long and strenuous day, and I don't have as much energy as I did last stream, but we're still going to talk about this because it's very important. And like I said, what we are currently seeing right now in the beginnings of this trial are similar to what ultimately happened with Rodney King. Now, let me just pop this up really quick. This is just a Wikipedia page about the 1992 Los Angeles riots. And as you guys can see here, the riots took place after four officers were acquitted from LAPD for excessive usage or usage of excessive force in the arrest and beating of Rodney King. And, you know, I watched a documentary about the whole entire unrest that happened back in 1992. And it just seems very similar to what's going on today. It happened during an election year, just like George Floyd. Basically, every single thing we saw with the George Floyd case happened with Rodney King, all the way down to what we're now going to be seeing with this trial, because I do ultimately think that Derek Chauvin will be acquitted. And I want to talk about why I think that way. Now, this is a video that came out. What's the date on this? August 3rd of 2020. Now, the public perception has already been set about Derek Chauvin. He's a murderer. He kneeled on George Floyd's neck and suffocated him to death. And he did it because he's a white man that hates black people, and he's a racist. That's the public perception right now, right? And that's what we've all been hearing. That's what we've all been seeing. That's why we saw all the Black Lives Matter riots last year. That's why we saw Kenosha burn down, Minneapolis, Portland, all of these different cities. They were all tied to the Black Lives Matter movement, which, again, has been gaining traction since what? I believe 2014 is when they really started kicking off. And then every single election season, we do end up seeing them pop back up again. So the reason I'm bringing this up is because we've all seen the footage of Derek Chauvin kneeling on George Floyd's neck. But what a lot of people didn't see was this exclusive that came out from Daily Mail on August 3rd. Now, this video from Daily Mail goes in depth with the police body cam footage moment by moment before George Floyd was ever on the ground. Now, if you go through this, and you guys can watch this full video for yourselves, I'm not going to play the entire thing for you guys. And as you guys can see here, it's not really popping up anyway. But I would really encourage everyone in the chat to go and watch this video, and I will put the link below at the end of this. Now, 7 minutes into this video, because I think overall it's about 8 minutes long, 4 minutes in, you're finally seeing George Floyd talk to the police officers. No one ever wants to talk about the fact that in this video, George Floyd asks to be put on the ground repeatedly. He said, "Let me lie down on the ground. Let me lie down on the ground. I want to lie down on the ground." They're trying to put him into the back of a police car. He says that he's claustrophobic. The police are trying to work with him. They're like, "Okay, we'll crack a window for you. We just really need you to cooperate with us, and we need you to get into the back of the police car." He refuses to cooperate. They're trying to, you know, work with him for a good 4 minutes at this point. They're trying to get him into the back of the vehicle. And let me see if I can just skip ahead here. I don't think I can. There we go. My YouTube gets banned for this, whatever, so be it. So here's the video right here. As you guys can see, they're trying to work with Floyd. He's being very difficult the entire time, saying he's claustrophobic. That's why he can't get into the back of the cop car. And ultimately, as they're putting him into the back of the car, you can hear him in the video saying, "I can't breathe." Now, he says this before the police ever take him out of the vehicle, before the police ever put him on the ground, and before there was ever a knee on his neck. He says he cannot breathe, and he specifically asks, George Floyd asked to be put on the ground. This is a key thing that is missing and that all of America did not see. And I specifically know this because I have gone out in Austin, Texas, and I've talked to Black Lives Matter activists, and I said, "Okay, well, what do you think about the footage that came out of George Floyd asking to be put on the ground and saying that he couldn't breathe before the police ever touched him?" And of course, they have nothing to say in response. They say that that's a huge lie, but in this exact video right here, which I'm sure the jury will see, you will see for yourself and hear for yourself the reality of what happened that day when George Floyd died. And no one ever wants to bring up the fact that he overdosed on fentanyl, that he had an extremely high dose of fentanyl in his body, that an autopsy report already came out during the trial, which said that there was no blunt force trauma or injury that would have caused his death. Nobody wants to talk about that. But like I said, the perception is already set, and this is going to be similar to Rodney King. If Derek Chauvin gets acquitted, which I do think he will at this point, I'm just going to be blunt and honest and say this, because based off of this footage and what we're seeing here and off of his autopsy report of his reason for death, Derek Chauvin did not kill George Floyd. That's it. I'm going to link this video below. Please go watch the whole thing for yourself. Start at 4 minutes. You guys can spare 4 minutes of your time. Go watch the video for yourself, because this is a key piece of information that is missing from every single American's life. And this is the key piece of information that is going to make or break this trial. Now, again, the public perception has already been set, and we are going to see riots if Derek Chauvin gets acquitted. And the attorneys or the lawyers that are trying to find jurors for this case are having a very difficult time trying to find people who will be a part of the trial and will testify during the case or will be a part of it. Jack Posobiec tweeted this out. I don't know who needs to hear this, but nearly every potential juror called in the George Floyd case testified they were terrified of being doxxed and their families threatened if they served on the jury. Now, this is important because we've gotten to a point in society now where you cannot speak out against Black Lives Matter. You can't even serve on a jury in a trial. We can't even have rule of law at this point. We can't even have, Derek Chauvin go through the justice system in a fair trial, because public perception has already been set with the help of the media, with the help of Black Lives Matter. And they're really having a hard time finding people who are, one, impartial, or two, willing to risk their lives for this, because they know that if they make the wrong decision, if they find out that Derek Chauvin was actually innocent in this and they acquit him, that they will get targeted, they will get hunted down. And I do think that that is why they've been having such a hard time finding jurors, because people know that if they really truly do look into the George Floyd case and what happened that day, they know, and which is why they don't want to serve on the jury, they know that Derek Chauvin didn't kill George Floyd. I truly do believe that. I feel like that's the entire reason why they're having such a hard time. And so many jurors are like, yeah, no, I'm not going to be a part of this. I don't want my life destroyed, because they probably looked into the facts. They probably looked into the fact that George Floyd had a high amount of fentanyl in his system, that, you know, this other body cam footage showed George Floyd asking to be put on the ground. So that's where we're currently at, though. We can't even find a jury for this trial because we have literal domestic terrorist groups, aka Black Lives Matter and Antifa, that will hunt you down and kill you if you say the wrong thing. Let's go even further and let's look a little bit into the jurors that have been looked at in terms of this case. So juror number 8 says he is concerned rioters will attack his house if he serves on the jury and his name is released in the George Floyd trial, as he would be concerned about them coming after his wife and kids. So again, there's no such thing as a fair trial in America anymore. There's no such thing as due process. It's guilty until proven innocent, as opposed to the other way around like it used to be. Derek Chauvin is just guilty because he's a white man at the end of the day, and nobody wants to look at the facts of what actually happened. And that's why we will see riots in Minneapolis again. That's why they already have an autonomous zone in Minneapolis that other Black Lives Matter activists don't even feel comfortable going to, because it's overrun by Black Bloc Antifa, who have taken over the zone, and that's just normal now. The police don't even go in there. Shootings in Minneapolis have shot up 250% over the past year because they've defunded their police. And guess what's happening? It's the funniest thing. They're having to take millions of dollars and reinvest them back into their police force in Minneapolis because there's so much crime going on over there. It's complete insanity. Now let's go through a couple of these other jurors. And I wanted to show you guys this too anyway, so we will go through this a little bit. I'll just play this video for you. But again, this is just a reporter who went to the George Floyd Memorial. It's apparently, again, an autonomous zone with several blocks controlled by activists. The police don't go in, and he tries to go in and get video. They told him to leave. So he does go outside of these barricades here, which just look like, I don't even know. They look like, I don't know, clothing racks that they probably stole out of a building they looted. And then these two activists or Antifa, I don't even know what they called, like these two people come up to him and tell him, yeah, you need to leave. We know who you are and we know what you do. And we told you to leave, and it's going to be a bad time for you if you don't leave. And what does he do? He leaves. We have domestic terrorists on our streets running things now. The police don't even go into this area. Or later on in this video, This Black Lives Matter activist says that I believe it was like her nephew or her son got shot in this autonomous zone, and he ended up either being severely injured or dying. I'm sorry, I didn't read more into that. But basically, people are getting shot and injured and killed in this area, and the police refuse to go because we have these Black Bloc activists who look like they weigh 90 pounds and probably, yeah, went to school for their women's studies degree and are failing at life, which is why they're now standing outside claiming a block of Minneapolis is an autonomous zone, because that's the only thing they can do in life to make themselves feel accomplished, because they've done nothing for society except to ruin everything and waste their lives and their time. So we have people now who are bullying reporters, who are telling police officers they can't go to specific parts of Minneapolis. We have jurors who are terrified to even speak against this case because, again, I truly do think that they know that Derek Chauvin was just doing his job as a police officer. And if George Floyd had cooperated with police, none of this would have ever happened. But no one wants to talk about that. No one wants to talk about how just disrupted our entire life has become. Again, guys, I'm sorry that my brain's kind of slow today. It's just been such a long day, and it's just so frustrating to see this type of stuff. It's so frustrating to see reporters bow down to these pathetic Antifa and Black Lives Matter activists who declared this area an autonomous zone. It's disgusting that the police just say, okay, yeah, we're not going to go in there. It is what it is. Why the hell have we accepted this as normalcy in society? When did we decide that all of these ridiculous SJW leftists, when did we decide that they're allowed to rule over these streets in America? Because again, and that's one reason why I've always been so passionate about going out and protesting on the damn street, because these streets do not belong to Black Lives Matter, and these streets don't belong to Antifa. These streets belong to every single damn American, and you should feel free to go and be able to speak your mind and say what you want to say and go and protest whatever you want. We've gotten to a point in this country where, again, it does feel like we live under a sense of totalitarianism. I was looking up the definition of this, and totalitarianism is a concept for a form of government or a political system that prohibits opposition parties, restricts individual opposition to the state and its claims, and exercises an extremely high degree of control over public and private life. And that's exactly what I'm seeing every single day with our media. It's exactly what I'm seeing every single day with Joe Biden being in office. It's exactly what we're seeing with this George Floyd case. What is counter to, you know, saying that George Floyd was an innocent Black man? Yeah, that's opposition. And you can't do that in America anymore. You're not allowed to have an opposite form of thought, or else you will be targeted, you will be destroyed, your life will be ruined. And that's just where we are in society now. And I wanted to think about this on a deeper level too. And going into this and reading off of this definition, I just realized that the government has to control our language so they can in turn control our thought, and then they can in turn control our actions. Again, one of the best examples of this that we've seen is with this vaccine. Why do people take unresearched vaccines? Well, it's because we can't speak out against vaccine injuries, for example. Anti-vaxxers have been banned off of social media, off of YouTube. They have been slandered. People write them off as crazy. They say that, oh, these people don't know what they're talking about. They're not doctors. Don't listen to them. They're crazy. And they get completely silenced. So you can't speak out against the vaccines. And then the government and the media change public perception about the thoughts regarding the vaccine, saying, oh yeah, no, they're extremely safe. Everyone take your vaccine if you want to get back to normal life. And they keep repeating this over and over and over again until it becomes common knowledge and it becomes reality or basic truth. And then you're in turn making your own decision to take the vaccine, when in reality, the government controlled who was allowed to say what. And then they were allowed to control public perception and thought. So when you're taking that unresearched vaccine and you think that you're making that decision on your own, in reality, you're not. You have been conditioned by several layers of propaganda, media, and the government to make you think that this is a good and wise decision that you're making on your own, when in reality, It's the government the entire time who's conditioning you to think this way. And again, I know I'm kind of going all over the place tonight and I'm touching on a lot of different topics. But I think this is a very important thing to address. We'll take a quick break here and I'll read some of these super chats because I do feel like my brain kind of needs a break. Avengy Crosby, you always send super chats every show and you say Owen Schroyer is a god amongst men, not George Floyd. Every single show I get super chats about how Owen Schroyer is a god amongst men. To the people in the comments, I do see that you guys want me to get Owen on a stream. I would love to get him on. I've talked to him about getting him on. So I'll schedule that out. And I think he'd be really fun to talk to about like the pineal gland and the calcification of our pineal gland and how our food and water, again, keep us kind of sedated and how we are all being conditioned to perceive the world a specific way. I think he'd be a really interesting person to talk to about that. So I'll get him on. I read your guys' comments. I am listening. Sergeant Hodel says, Sav, what's your thoughts on the slightly offensive TMZ debate on whether LGBT should have a platform in the MAGA movement? Who you think won? Funny thing about this, I actually am the one that was behind the scenes for that debate. I switched the whole thing. I made sure that it got up and running. It happened. So it was a lot of fun getting to work with Elijah on that project. We have another panel coming up next week. It should be a lot of fun. Regarding the debate on whether LGBT should have a platform in the MAGA movement, I think that as conservatives, we do need to take a hardline stance regarding what we allow to enter our party ideologically. I did like what Lauren and John had to say in the sense of, if LGBTQ people want to vote for Republicans, if they want to vote a specific way for political reasons or economic reasons, that's great. But you shouldn't be allowed to sway the opinions and thinking of the conservative party if your ideals are not necessarily conservative. That was one point that I did really agree on. And I do think at the end of the day, this is about protecting our children, and we shouldn't be glorifying transgenderism to our children. We shouldn't be exposing them to this at all in any way. So that's my stance on that. I'm a Christian woman, and I think that we should take a stance, but I also do think that we should approach people with love and not call them disgusting. So that's where I am on that. I have a specific stance on it, but I do think that, you know, I'm open to listening to other people's opinions and even debating them on it. But when it comes to actual conservatism, let's conserve, just like our name implies that we should be doing. Scott Townsend says, Owen is the GOAT. More Owen chats. Love that. I don't know why y'all always send me Owen chats. Michael Weeb says, love from Germany. Savannah, your content is always on point. Thank you, guys. All right, let's get back into the beef of this. Okay, one more super chat. 8404 says, there's a good chance that the 92 LA riots are going to go nationwide this year. Yes, 8404, that's exactly what I was referring to. You know, in terms of what happened in 92, we saw LA just completely decimated. We saw people getting pulled out of their cars, beaten in the streets. We already saw that last year. And if Derek Chauvin gets acquitted, which again, if you actually look at the facts of this case, I do think that he will. And that's why they're having such a hard time finding jurors, because these jurors know as well, hey, if you look at the facts of the case, there's no way that we can actually charge this man with what they're trying to charge him with. So it will be interesting to see what happens. Daniel Humeyer says, the vaccines are no guarantee, but only two choices, get infected or get vaccinated. Chances are better than the vaccine. Would love to debate. Daniel, I've seen you post on my my channel a lot, on my Instagram a lot. I appreciate your commentary. And regarding those two choices, get infected or get vaccinated, to be quite honest with you, I would rather get infected with COVID than get the vaccine, because it has an over 99% survival rate and I'm not going to die from it. The average person is not going to die from it. And if you feel like you want to get the vaccine, then go for it. That's your cup of tea. It's not mine. I should not be forced to get a vaccine. No one in America should be forced to do anything. So I think that it's ridiculous that we are forcing people and threatening people that they can't get back to normal life if they don't get this vaccine, which again, most quickly developed vaccine in history. I don't agree with it. How do we know how it's going to affect specific people's bodies? We don't. So that's my commentary on that. All right. I'll get back to the super chats. We're done with that break. Now, going on top of how with politics, it's such a volatile environment. It's such a dangerous environment that not only do people refuse to speak out about, you know, the George Floyd facts and trial, or facts of the case, and they don't even want to be a part of the trial. But going back to the concept of the control of language, which ultimately leads to control of thought and then control of you, which again is what we're seeing right now with George Floyd. Where we are in terms of political violence is people are being controlled. They're scared to be a part of this jury because, in a sense, Black Lives Matter does control all of our lives. Look what we just saw with that reporter. He can't even go out and report on the street. And why? Because Black Lives Matter controls who's allowed to do what, if you let them. Don't forget that. Now, going back to the control of language, let's get into this. So I'm sure a lot of you have seen society's increasing pressure on banning words as violence. And this is a common theme that we've seen over and over and over again. I'm sure many of you are familiar with Taylor Lorenz. She has been trending over the past couple of days because we'll get into it. But basically, she's a big leftist journalist who, like all leftists love to do, cried victim because people on the internet were mean to her. And we've seen this definite trend of words are violence. I was trying to last night take a break from politics and just go and look up how to make my living room cute. I literally typed that into Google, how to decorate your living room. I'm on Good Housekeeping. I'm reading through the article. And then in the suggested articles is how fat phobia is violence. And I'm having Gina Florio on, Gina Bontempo, sorry, she got married recently. She's the manager of Candace Owens. I'll have her on a stream tomorrow night. And I want to go in depth with her in this article. But basically the common theme that I got out of this is that fat phobia, or even encouraging an overweight person to work out, is violence. And we're seeing this common theme over and over and over again of how words are now violence. You know, throwback to sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Now we live in a society where words are not only hurting people, I again don't know how, but they are, people are banning speech. We are seeing people being canceled for reading books at this point. Let's really delve into this together. Paul Joseph Watson tweeted this out the other day. This is a New York Times article. Are private messaging apps the next misinformation hotspot? And he commented, it never ends. And this is right here, guys, where we are in society. You can't even privately message people now if you're not talking about the right things. This is what I'm talking about when I say that society, the government, the media want full control of your thoughts. And the way that they are doing that is by controlling your language. Now they are targeting private messaging apps. And that brings us into Taylor Lorenz. Now, Taylor Lorenz is, again, this New York Times journalist, Mia Cathell, tweeted this out, that she's a disgraced New York Times journalist who was busted for her false charge against an entrepreneur. The internet culture reporter is now promoting an anti-harassment campaign and equating the criticism she's faced with online violence. Now, she was going through Clubhouse. She was targeting people and she was getting people banned from Clubhouse, saying that they were, again, inciting violence, that they were speaking hate speech on there. Basically, she's one of the people who wants to control your language, controls what you are allowed to say, who you are allowed to critique, who you are allowed to criticize. And it's very funny because this is the same woman who goes and makes it her job to go out in society. And again, remember in school when you had kids who were just like the hall monitors for the teachers and they were just telling you for everything and everyone just hated them. And it's like, bro, just let me live my life. That's basically Taylor Lorenz. So as you guys can see, apparently she was talking about a story on the 10 kids who had their Harvard admissions revoked for using memes with the N-word in a group chat. Don't share racist memes, people, or make racist jokes, especially if you want to go to college. Because, you know, God forbid teenagers make bad decisions. Just such an uncommon thing to happen. So it's really good that before a young adult goes to college, we dig through their long and sordid past of stupid comments they made when they were 13 years old. That's the type of person Taylor Lorenz is. She's the type to cancel someone for something they said when they were 10 years old. So she tweeted this out. on International Women's Day. Who knows when the hell that day was? Ridiculous. For International's Women's Day, please consider supporting women enduring online harassment. It's not an exaggeration to say that the harassment and smear campaign I've had to endure over the past year has destroyed my life. No one should have to go through this. What a sad woman. I'm going to be nice. I'm not going to scream today. But this is absolutely ridiculous. And as a reporter and a journalist who worked hard to get my career to the point where it was and be successful and actually went and worked my ass off to go and report on riots and then got banned because Donald Trump retweeted me. Yeah, I think I know a little bit more about getting my life destroyed or even my career destroyed than you do, Taylor Lorenz, because some people were mean to you online. This is absolutely ridiculous that she's in a job, for one, where she's in the public eye, and for two, she's constantly targeting and harassing people and trying to get their lives destroyed, and now she's crying about the exact same thing that she does for a living. It's absolutely ridiculous. And so many people, like Michael Tracy, if you guys can read here on this side, on the right here, he said, one, become a professional adult journalist. Two, report on controversial subjects. Three, receive criticism online. Four, claim your life has been destroyed by this criticism, despite the institutional backing of your employer, the New York Times. It's just so rich, everyone. It's so freaking rich that she's complaining and crying about this, and that she was trending because Tucker Carlson went on his show and called her out for her blatant hypocrisy. And then we have all of these leftists like Jessica Valenti saying, if you want to know why Tucker Carlson repeats Taylor's full name half a dozen times, it's so that his viewers know exactly who to target with harassment. Our society is so soft. One of my favorite quotes ever is from Tyler, the Creator. And he goes, online bullying isn't even a thing. Just close the laptop. And it was a joke, but I just think it's so hilarious because that's exactly it. If people say mean things to you online, just don't read it. If people hurt your feelings online, close the screen, turn your phone off. Words aren't hurting you. You are okay. And it's absolutely ridiculous that this is a credentialed reporter who's crying and complaining. And then we have all of these leftists coming to her defense saying that Tucker Carlson is targeting her for harassment. We are playing a very dangerous game here in terms of saying that speech is now violence. Teddy Schleifer says, this is so dangerous, and Tucker Carlson knows exactly what he's doing. Yeah, he's calling out a BS hypocritical reporter who has ruined people's lives and is now crying victim for experiencing the exact same thing that she does to everybody else. If you don't like the mean comments, don't read them. You decided to be in the public eye. You decided to make this your living. You decided to target and harass people. So don't ask us to feel sympathy for you after you've made it your whole life story and your whole campaign in life to ruin other people and to, again, be the speech police, to be the hall monitor for America. That's absolutely ridiculous. Jeremy Boring says, 100% of all humans have been treated poorly, judged too harshly, falsely accused, criticized unjustly, subjected to racial prejudice, made sexually uncomfortable, lied to, insulted, humiliated, belittled, laughed at, and bullied. Some more, some less. And he's referring to, again, Taylor Lorenz, and this is absolutely true right here, okay? Everyone on earth has had mean things said to them at one point or another. Especially if you put yourself into the public eye, expect it. When I first started working at InfoWars, people used to tell me I was fat all the time. And guess what? It didn't make me feel good, so I stopped reading the comments and I kept making my damn reports and I didn't let it affect me. So the safe spaces that we see in society have led to this. These soft people who victimize themselves after doing the exact same thing that they're crying about all day long. And going more into, again, the control of speech, we now have, and we've seen this for such a long time, all of these brands removing words from their labeling because it's discriminatory. We've heard the, you know, Latinx, Womix, whatever the hell, however the hell you say that. The left, whoever you want to talk about, is doing this, the government, I don't know who you want to, you know, put 100% of the blame on for this, but they have been restructuring our language slowly over time. And now we're at this point where words are violence, and we will soon, and we already are getting to a point where you will be arrested for saying the wrong thing. You can't criticize certain groups. You haven't been able to for a long time. I tell you guys all of the time, go and follow me down below on my Odyssey account, on all of my other accounts on Gab, on Parler, because I'm not going to be on YouTube forever. Why? Because YouTube is the exact same way. They control who is allowed to say what and what is allowed to be criticized. And a lot of the things, pretty much every single thing I talk about is stuff that is not allowed to be criticized, but we're still going to talk about it anyway. I don't know if you guys saw this one. Apparently Dove is removing the word normal from their branding because it excludes people. Just another way that they're trying to restructure our language and make us afraid to say certain things. Remember when people used to say the word retarded? Yeah. And now you can get banned. Your entire channel can get banned for it. Your entire life can be canceled for calling somebody that or for saying it. You know, it's ridiculous. It really is. And again, I'm not for bullying people. Everyone be nice to each other, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, it's absolutely ridiculous that we've gotten to this point where our speech is so restricted that we're all constantly walking on eggshells. Can I speak about this? Can I not? And public perception is being swayed because every single day, what we can say and what we can criticize gets restricted more and more and more and more and more until the only thing you can criticize is Donald Trump. Yeah, don't talk about the fact that we've seen border crossings triple since Joe Biden took office, that gas prices are rising exponentially, that this man literally has Alzheimer's or dementia or whatever's going on with him. Don't speak about that. You can't talk about that. You can't talk about Donald Trump being bad, though, and putting kids in cages. You can do that all day long, but don't talk about Joe Biden. You'll get in. And again, too, we saw this with Piers Morgan. He criticized Meghan Markle and what happened. He decided to leave Good Morning America because there was so much backlash. And I thought that this was actually hilarious. Jake Tapper of CNN came forward and said, in regards to an article that reads, Piers Morgan's Meghan Markle comments are being investigated by the UK. Now, Jake Tapper came forward and said, this is what happens when you live in a country where there is no First Amendment. Insanity. Variety, UK media regulator Ofcom launched an investigation after more than 41,000 people complained about Piers Morgan's comments on Meghan Markle. First off, it's absolutely rich that Jake Tapper, of all people, who works for CNN, the biggest liars in our damn country, who were advocating to get Fox News kicked off the air and OAN as well, it's rich that this is coming from him. But on the topic, again, this is not an issue that is, you know, central to America. This is something that we're seeing globally as well. You can't even criticize Meghan Markle without having your entire career destroyed. And now Piers Morgan, because there's so much backlash because he criticized the wrong person, now he's no longer on Good Morning America. Absolutely ridiculous. So again, first, they control your language, and then they control your thought. Now, I was reading this tweet the other day, and Robbie Starbuck did a really great job of exemplifying how when you control the language and you don't allow people to counter or actually talk about the reality of what's going on, it's very easy to persuade public perception. Let's start out with the bottom here with the Los Angeles Times. It says, the shrinking difference in the death rates is... the comparison of California and Florida is not fair. California is a much harder situation than what Florida has to deal with. And then it goes on to say, the shrinking difference in the death rates is likely the product of California's higher levels of poverty, density, overcrowding, and climate that make it particularly susceptible to coronavirus spread, experts say. Now, of course, I'm sure many of you have already read the top part, but if you're just reading this bottom portion and you're not familiar with politics, you're not familiar with how in every single Democrat run city and state, there's bad policies that the Democrats implement that raise your taxes, that make the homeless population spike, that actually cause the border crisis that we're seeing, that, you know, skyrocket crime and drug use. It's the policies that Democrats pass that institute that and make these areas the way that they are. But, you know, if you don't know about any of that and you're reading this from the LA Times, you're like, oh my gosh, like that makes so much sense. Robbie Starbucks says, of course, this is absolute BS. Poverty in California is caused by Democrat policies. Density issues are caused by poor planning and regulation stifling development. Another Democrat policy, and overcrowding comes with mass illegal migration. Democrat policy and lack of affordable development. So that perfectly encapsulates how when you have control of the language and you don't allow anybody to counter you, how you are then able to control public thought and persuade public thinking. So I really just loved that example there. We're also seeing too now another example of how thoughts are being controlled. Disney is pulling Dumbo, Peter Pan, and more classics from kids, and they're adding warning labels for adults watching as well. I think months ago, Disney was saying that they were going to put these racially insensitive warnings in front of their movies, but now they're just completely pulling them. And what are we teaching society and what are we teaching our children if we're making racism out of nothing? You think a kid's going to watch Dumbo and say, oh my gosh, this has racial undertones to it. And, you know, I can see the discrimination against Black people in this movie about a damn elephant that can fly with his ears. No, we are creating the problems in society in terms of these racial issues. We're creating the problems ourselves and we're perpetuating them and keeping them alive by consistently pushing them as an issue when they truly are not. I'm a firm believer that if you truly want something in this damn country, go for it and make it your reality. Work hard for it. And it doesn't matter what color your skin is or, you know, even what opportunities you have in front of you. Like, go make the opportunity for yourself in America. Everyone has the opportunity to do so. I know people start off at different levels. I'm completely aware of that. But to say that in this country you're not allowed to make it or that you can't make opportunity for yourself is absolutely ridiculous. And it's a lie. It's a lie point blank. So they control our words. They can control our thoughts. No one's allowed to counter anything that the government says, the state says. And then ultimately, we are controlled. Now, remember how the media was not calling Trump supporters Nazis directly, but they were saying that, or they weren't calling for Trump supporters to be attacked directly. The media was saying Nazis deserve to be punched in the face and destroyed. And then the media would say Trump supporters are Nazis. So the media never said Trump supporters deserve to be punched and destroyed. But they did say that Trump supporters who are essentially Nazis deserve to, you know, be beaten up. And that's why we saw all of this going on over the past 4 years. I can't tell you how many stories come up like this of, you know, American citizens who just wanted to wear a MAGA hat and be proud to support their president, how many of them were attacked. And this is just, again, another form of how we are all being controlled. People stopped wearing their MAGA hats because they were afraid of the political violence that they were going to have to deal with. Again, this, I believe he was, let me see. I think he owned an art gallery here, but he was just wearing a MAGA hat and a bunch of teens came and just beat him up, poor guy. And there's another article here from Newsweek. And if you guys want to read this for yourselves, again, like you can just scroll and scroll and scroll. And these are all of the attacks on people in MAGA hats. Why? Because the media told us that people in MAGA hats deserve to be punched, that they could be equated to Nazis, that they deserve to this type of treatment. And then enough Trump supporters were attacked and enough people were scared into submission to not wear their Trump hats anymore. And ultimately, we are now living in a society where Black Lives Matter runs our streets, Antifa runs our streets. We can't wear MAGA hats. We can't speak out against Joe Biden. We can't speak in favor of Donald Trump. You can't even read a book without being canceled. And the reason I bring that up too is because a Mumford and Sons guitarist, apparently he praised Andy Ngo after reading his book. And then he was labeled a Nazi, and instead of, again, doubling down and saying, yeah, I read a book, I had an opinion, he issued an apology. This was his apology. He said, over the past few days, I have come to better understand the pain caused by the book I endorsed. I have offended not only a lot of people I don't know, but also those closest to me, including my bandmates, and for that I am truly sorry. As a result of my actions, I am taking time away from the band to examine my blind spots. Now I want to stop really quick before we read the rest of this and focus on this portion right here. I have offended not only a lot of people I don't know. This is the problem in our society today as well. Everyone is so concerned about public perception and public opinion because, again, as we've seen, it can get very violent very easily. But this apology perfectly exemplifies, again, everyone's perception and why they're afraid to speak, why they're so afraid to and they're walking on eggshells all the times in terms of, did I gender you correctly? Should I not say the word retarded? Is that going to offend you? Everyone is so scared to use the speech that they want to use because they're afraid of offending random people that they don't know. And, you know, guys, too, I'm not excusing hateful speech, but I am a firm believer that speech cannot hurt you. That words are words, and us saying that words are violence is going down a very dangerous path, and we will head down. And again, we are very, very close to people going to jail, just like they do in China for criticizing the wrong person or saying the wrong words. And that's just a very dangerous place to be in society. What else do we got here? I have a couple of other news stories that we can get into that I wanted to talk to you guys about, but yeah, I'm just very tired today, everyone, and I hope I did a good job of explaining all of that and bringing it all together. Apparently, the CDC has also, to COVID update, the CDC is releasing guidelines giving limited freedoms to people fully vaccinated against COVID-19. Here are the rules to keep following. And Tyler Carden said, CNN believes the CDC can give and or take away freedoms, LOL. And that's where we are, guys. The CDC does, they don't think they can give or take away freedoms. They know they can because they've gotten away with doing that for the past year now. That's why Greg Abbott lifted the mask, the forced mask mandate. And Mayor Adler of Austin said, yeah, we're still going to implement that and force people to wear face masks. And the Texas Attorney General is now suing them, which, good. Apparently, yeah, Mayor Adler was trying to force people to continue to wear face masks. And the biggest frustration with this is, again, if you want to wear your face mask, knock yourself out, but don't force other people to do it. Please. Don't force other people to wear masks. If you want to live your life in Crazyville, feel free to do that, but don't force your insane ideologies, your insane and unhealthy ideologies on other people. It's not going to work, and it's just going to keep pissing people off, honestly. Not even pissing people off. It's just we've gotten to a point in society where it's just like, what the hell is going on? Why is everyone so stupid? When we say come and take it. No, I'm sure you guys kind of heard that a little bit. I saw this video the other day of Madison Cawthorn, and I'm not going to play the audio, but he's apparently giving some speech, and the NRA tweeted it out, and he basically says, when we say come and take it, we mean it. In real America, when we say come and take it, we mean it. Now, I'm not playing the audio for this because this in itself is symbolic of our officials in office and, again, of this false sense of control that we all think that we have. Look at Madison Cawthorn in this damn video. He's a Republican who is saying, when we say come and take it, we damn well mean it, referring to the Second Amendment. But why don't we apply the same logic to all of our rights? When we say come and take it, we mean it. When we say come and take our First Amendment, we mean it. But in the same exact breath where he's challenging people in Congress, you know, not to impede on the Second Amendment, what's wrong with this video? He's wearing a face mask. He's here wearing a face mask, saying, when we say come and take it, we mean it, while capitulating to the ridiculous face mask orders that have been going on for an entire year. When are we going to have strong Republicans in Congress who are brave enough to say, no, we're done with this nonsense. We're not wearing the face mask anymore. We know it's BS. And again, this is a perfect example of how we think we have control in society. We think we have elected officials like Madison Cawthorn who can go in front of Congress and say, when we say come and take it, we mean it. Well, at the same time, wearing a face mask and bowing down to the ridiculous Democrat policies that have been forced on every single person. I have not seen one Republican brave enough to just not wear their face mask. To be quite honest, if I was in Congress, I would go in with my face mask and then I would take it off and I would burn it in Congress to make a point, because everyone is so damn afraid to make a stand in this country, which again is why we have Madison Cawthorn here, who is supposed to be a Republican, who is supposed to be speaking for his constituents and all of the people, you know, who are pushing for their Second Amendment rights. If you can't even take a mask off, you think that you're going to stand up against people coming and trying to take away your Second Amendment rights? Give me a freaking break. This is ridiculous and it's pathetic. I said I wasn't going to yell. I said I wasn't going to scream, but this actually has me triggered. You guys know that this the easiest way for me to actually get triggered in society and in everyday freaking life is seeing fake-ass Congress people saying that they're going to fight for your rights and that they're speaking for the Americans who are saying, come and take it, when in reality, they are not even brave enough not to take off their face mask and rebel just that little bit. Even if he got kicked out of Congress, that would have been a stand for the majority of America who is tired of the face mask nonsense. But our Congress people are fake. We have a fake sense of control, and the government makes us think that we in society are allowed to make our own decisions, but we're not. We're not allowed to speak about certain things. We're not allowed to criticize certain people. We think we have people in office who speak for us. But again, this in itself is just so hilarious to me. When we say come and take it, we mean it. Well, he's being muzzled by a damn mask. You can't even take your mask off. How the hell are you going to stand up for your other rights? If you can't even stand up for your right to breathe, how are you going to stand up for any of your other rights? That is a basic human right, the right to breathe. Everyone was so mad at Joe Biden for saying that we're Neanderthals for wanting to breathe. And I'm like, yeah, you know, let's take this back to basic human needs. The need to breathe. That is a basic need that I don't care what the skin, the color of your skin is. I don't care about anything in life, which country you live in, how old you are, how young you are. Everyone at the core, at our basic human level, needs to breathe. But we can't even stand up for that right. I get so tired of everything, everybody. I really do. And I do see your guys' super chats. I will address them right now. But how in the actual hell are we going to stand up for our rights when we can't even take off a damn face mask and take back our right to breathe? Somebody explain that to me. So again, overarching theme of tonight's show, it was originally going to be about how our language is being controlled. But I focused in on the George Floyd trial because I really do feel like that encapsulates as a whole where we have gone as a society and how we have gotten here to this point of everyone is scared politically to speak out. Everyone is scared to speak truth. Everyone is scared to have the wrong opinion, to say the wrong words. We even have, again, people in Congress who will pretend that they're going to fight for your rights while still wearing a damn face mask. It's absolutely pathetic to me. It really is. And I don't mean to be too extreme. I try to be a nice person. I try to come off, and so many people tell me to, Sav, don't say that on your channel. You're going to get banned. It's funny that you're saying it now, but you're going to get banned. Guess what? I don't care. I really don't. I mean, I do. I do care. It does hurt when I get banned off of things, but I'm never going to stop speaking the truth, because that at a base level is the most important thing that is lacking from our society today. People brave enough to stand up and speak the truth. It's not an easy thing to do. It's a very difficult thing to do. But here we are. People need to do it. So everyone in the chat, please go out, speak your truth, live your life.